This is the feast of the Ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore who had come together began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And that while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, we all know that this is a glorious feast. And we know that because of the rosary. Because the second of the glorious mysteries is the ascension. And so that's what this is. This is a glorious feast, and that is because the Son of God, who came into this world, completed his mission, as we learned during this season of Easter, after Easter, on this day returned to his Father in the love of the Holy Spirit. And the difference now between the time 33 years earlier and now, because our Lord himself never was separated from the Trinity, we know that. But what was the big difference? Now he had a human nature. And this human nature, the first element of creation that ever entered heaven. We're talking about material creation because the angels, of course, were in heaven. But this was the first instant that part of this great creation now was in heaven. The gates of heaven had been locked all of these centuries. So this is a glorious day, a glorious reunion, a glorious praise and jubilation over all the victory of our Lord embodied in his own human flesh. That's what it's all about. And this is all for us at the first Mass today. The whole liturgy of the Mass, of the church, is encapsulated in that. And of course, Holy Mother of the Church gathers us at the Stational Church of St. Peter. St. Peter, so pivotal, as we'll see him in these upcoming days leading up to Pentecost. So much to be said about St. Peter, but just having this Stational Church is emphasizing for us what is the significance of St. Peter. It is faith. Because when our Lord asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" St. Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is when our Lord's, that the teaching purpose of his mission was completed. It was now planted, the reality of who he was. Now he could turn his direction, which he did. He turned his direction to part two, to offering the sacrifice. And his whole thing is to be said about that, because as soon as he started doing that, St. Peter, as we know, started to try and correct him. "Lord, that will never happen to you. You will never sacrifice your life." And then our Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." So there's a whole story there. But the fact is that the first part of our Lord's mission, to establish who he was and plant the faith, that's all in St. Peter. So that's the first thing why the Stational Church. We are here to glory in our Lord's victory, and then to respond first with faith. We believe. We believe you are God, and we believe that you ascended on this day, 40 days after you rose from the dead. And just to continue about the sacred liturgy, just because of the fact that that is so critical, this is the day we can, if you recall, Ascension Thursdays of the past, so many of these beautiful doctrines were explained to us. And we, of course, don't have the time to do that. And also, you are the group that has come out after a day of hard labor because you were not able to come to the morning Mass. And so you're all exhausted. So we can't go into that in great detail, but we recall this to your mind. Today is the beginning of our Lord's heavenly priesthood. He was a priest from the moment of the incarnation. That is, he was a mediator between God and man from that moment. Why? Because that was the moment he took on human nature, and he was already instantly interceding for that which he was part of, all of mankind. But now a new phase in his priesthood begins, because today he exercises his priesthood right, as the gospel tells us, at the right side of the Father. During these days, these 40 days, you know, our Lord was teaching them. And many of the things that we heard that he taught them during these masses, of particularly of the octave of Easter, many of the things he taught them are literally put into the creed. I'm just pointing out one from today, because it says right in the gospel, "And he sits at the right hand of the Father." That's right in the creed. But if you were noticing it, if you were doing what we've counseled you to do, to read the Mass text at least for every Mass each day, even if you're not able to come to read the Mass text, you would be recalling right now the things I'm telling you. Because the creed is full of all of these quotes right out of the Gospels. But we never forget the heavenly priest of our Lord, because it is expressed in the sacred liturgy, because the sacred priesthood that he exercises in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father, he has us part of in the liturgy, because we pray, as he taught us, in his name. And so that's happening right here at this Mass. And the ascension is so critical, and we don't think about it all the time because we think of our Lord suffered and died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And that's the essence of the mystery. But if you notice in the Mass, it doesn't stop there. There are two references. One, right after the offertory, the prayer to the Holy Trinity, asking to remember our Lord's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And the same in the canon of the Mass. Again, putting those three together. That's how critical it is, because his sacrifice, his rising, is completed now because he sits at the right hand of the Father. This is all expressed in the Mass from this morning, all the glory of the Mass. And just to give us that liturgical sense of what's happening, there's so much in this day, it's hard to pack it in. But just so we know what historically happened, because it was beautifully recounted in this morning's sermon, that on this day, they all came together. It doesn't say specifically, but we are cognizant of the fact that we are in the Stational Church of St. Peter, and we have his scribe giving us the gospel. That's St. Mark. So St. Mark is telling us, St. Mark was probably there. It says there are 120 people that went on these events of this day. We see the apostles, of course, in the Blessed Virgin Mary. But St. Mark, and doesn't say exactly where this was taking place in Jerusalem, but was it not the cenacle, which we know was the home of St. Mark's mother? So we can see all these connections. But it's not explicitly stated, but that's probably where they gathered. And our Lord had this breakfast with them, and we heard about this morning. And he proceeded, he first rebuked them. You people have to have more faith. You can't be hard of heart. You heard that in the gospel. And then he had to give him the last question. Chuckle, because you can see how the apostles, even at this moment, they're not completely up with our Lord. Are you going to now, bring out the great kingdom of Israel? And he's still teaching them at the last seconds. And then he takes them through the city, the people in this town, in Jerusalem, not a town, big city, probably wondering, what is this crowd here? But they could not see our Lord. He only allowed himself to be seen by the faithful. And then they went up to Mount Olivet, where he began the passion in the agony garden, and that's where he ascended into heaven. And we see they are amazed. They're watching this. They've seen him do all kinds of things, but this is something they've not seen him do before. And he is going up, and then it says the clouds hid him from their gaze. And they just were standing there. And so our Lord had to send angels to tell them, okay, you have to go back into the city and wait for the coming of the Holy Ghost as has been promised. And St. Luke tells us that they went back into the city with great joy. Now, all of this liturgically and sacramentally is renewed for us right here. Because we can see, of course, that this candle is extinguished, and it was extinguished after the gospel of this morning's Mass, but it is here to recall for us that moment as our Lord ascended into heaven, this liturgical sacramental sign of his presence, which has been with us since the Easter Vigil. And we know all the significance of the Paschal candle as our Lord leads us in at the Easter Vigil, leads us in as that great column of fire led the people through the desert, all the things we learned about then. And then we see this symbol of the light of the world, that is our Lord, being extinguished because he has gone back to his Father. And so it is here to remind us of what happened this morning. And now to tell you a little bit about what is a special message for us tonight. Now, of course, 50 or 60 years ago, there were no masses at night because the sacrifice of the church was always offered in the morning. But because of all the circumstances of modern life and things just as you're experiencing, the militant attack on the faith that prevented the faithful. In the old days, everyone could come to Mass and it was not a problem. But now, because of modern society, it's vicious attack on our Lord, trying to stuff him out, makes everyone work today. This is a holy day of obligation. There should be no servile work. But out of necessity, you have to work. So the church, in response to that, said we have to have masses in the evening. So it's kind of it's a concession to modern society. But there's we're looking at it as a special blessing. Because, although we do want to just say this, the church makes an accommodation for the faithful, for the souls of the faithful. But that accommodation does not mean, accommodation is a different word from this word, surrender. None of you, none of us, all of us together, we're here because we are never going to surrender. You're not surrendering. But now, to take advantage of this special mass, which didn't exist 60 years ago, or 70, whenever, the evening mass. Yes, it's a glorious mystery. Yes, it's St. Luke tells us they went back to the city with great joy. And then he goes on further in the account of the Acts of the Apostles, telling us, we don't hear it read here, but it says, They returned to the upper room. That's the cenacle. They went back to the place of the Last Supper. And they remained there together, St. Luke tells us, in prayer, steadfast with one mind. And he names all the apostles, and he says, in union with the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the part we want to recall for you tonight. Because after all the glory of the morning, after all the joy and all the promises you hear our Lord telling what they will be able to do, and it literally happened, I think, right away, St. Paul putting his hand into the fire, I think it was on the island of Malta, and he put his hand into the fire to move the stick, and a snake came out and bit him. And he did not perish from it, and of course, these pagans thought he was some kind of a god, and there's a whole story about that. But I'm just giving out one example. So our Lord gave him these promises that would be signs of conversion for everybody. So all these great things this morning, very great excitement and everything else, even though our Lord, but now they come back. And now, it doesn't tell us in the gospel account or in the Acts of the Apostles, but you have to think of it that way. We feel it. We know that this has been extinguished. We know after tonight it will be taken away. So, were they all at this time starting to get the impact? He's not here. Were they beginning to feel sad? Were they beginning to feel melancholic? Were their thoughts going back to that other Thursday when they were in the upper room when he told them, I will not leave you orphans? Were they not thinking of those things? Were they not, as little children really, gathering close to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Our Lord did not take her with him on this day. Perhaps for those apostles and those people, they needed her to get them through. And just as a note, again, it is not in Scripture, which of course is not the only font of revelation, but we understand that all of the saints of the Old Testament, from Adam and Eve, which wisdom, the book of wisdom tells us they were saved, from Adam and Eve all the way up to Dismas, maybe even somebody even more recent than that, but we'll say Dismas because our Lord promised him, you will be with me in paradise today. All of those people were waiting in the limbo of the patriarchs. They could not enter heaven. But on this day, they did. So all of those saints, when our Lord went in, he brought all of the saints with him. First among them, of course, Saint Joseph and Saint John the Baptist and all these saints, all these patriarchs. But see, he did not take the Blessed Virgin Mary because he needed to have an anchor for this infant church so that when the impact of his going started to affect them, they could gather around her and gain strength. They were still afraid. Fear was starting to come back now. He was not with them. They kept those shutters closed, but they did remain faithful to pray, and they prayed with one mind in union with the Blessed Virgin Mary, getting ready for the coming of the Holy Ghost, and of course he did come, as we know. So here are the wrap-up lessons for us, we who are here at the cenacle at night. We did not see all the glory of the Mass this morning. We know it's there. We believe. But the impact of our Lord's bodily presence going, this is what we must learn. It's for everybody, but especially for us tonight. That is this. Gather around the Blessed Virgin Mary. She will help us in praying. She will be the leader of the novena, getting ready for Pentecost. She who is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, who draws him down on us. You see it all happening, coming together. We all are of one mind. That is the mind of Christ. We believe everything in the creed. We don't diminish any of the mysteries of our Lord. We don't surrender. And we cannot even go into this at all, but just to mention it. This was the beginning. Tonight was the beginning of the final purification of the apostles. They had gone through much with our Lord, and they had suffered with him, and they had suffered their own doubts and things, as we know that they abandoned him and all those things. Those were all steps along the way. They're going through the purgative way, giving up sin. The illuminative way, finally being able to see things as God sees them, to prepare them for the unitive way. That is when the Holy Ghost comes and unites them in the grace of confirmation, not the sacrament. I'm not talking about the sacrament. I'm talking about this confirming in them of grace to the extent now that these men are going to be able to hand on the things that our Lord wants in an infallible way. We have the remnants of it, of course, in the church itself and in those special dogmatic proclamations that are papal with all the conditions we know. These men, with holding the hand of the Blessed Mother, are going to be going through these final purifications. And you can see how it works. It's a whole study. But you can see the essence of it. Our Lord, who they are very attached to, obviously, to purify them. He says it to them at the Last Supper, and it's all recorded for us by St. John. He says, "It is necessary that I go." Remember he said that? "So I can send the Holy Ghost." It's not all recorded, everything he explained to them. "It's necessary because your love for me has to be spiritualized." It's that old thing we hear of, we have to love the giver of gifts, not just the gifts of the giver. You've probably heard that. So here our Lord is, he is withdrawing that presence that gave them such great strength, where St. Thomas can put his hand into his side and they can eat with him and everything. He's withdrawing that and he's saying, "You must be purified for the work ahead." And you know what? That's for us too. So at this night, we have to gather around the Blessed Mother, gather around in prayer, be it with one mind, say the creed with great faith. We believe you have ascended and you sit at the right hand of the Father. And God, help us, purify us during the novena to be ready to receive the Holy Ghost. May God bless you.